Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Coming up on show 916, we look at Tesla's crowdsourced advantage. Stick around and I'll tell you more. Plus, new cells that'll charge quickly, exporting Model 3s from China to Europe, and wireless charging getting its own standard. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. My name is Martin Lee. I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Thank you for your patience while I catch up on the podcasts. A couple of days kind of behind getting news out. I did a little mini studio rebuild over the weekend that turned into much more than a mini studio rebuild. Do you ever do those projects where you think, oh, that's about half a day on a Saturday? 3 or 4 days later, still putting it all back together again, plugging things in. So rather than kind of cobble something together and, you know, record in the kitchen and have it not sound like usual, I thought I'd just delay things by a little while. So just getting back up to speed on the podcast. Thank you for your patience on that. First in the news today, the South Korean cell maker SK Innovation just announced some new cells they're working on for electric vehicles, which could provide not only more range, but importantly, faster charging speeds. There are pros and cons to this story, but the headline they gave is that it could charge 250 miles of range in just 10 minutes. Now, you know, you must always say when you hear these kind of things, what efficiency are you talking about? Because this isn't for a specific car. It's like when people say, oh, they've invented a battery that fully charges in 5 minutes. Great. Well, how big is the battery? So if they're just talking about, and maybe there was an asterisk somewhere that I missed, but if they were talking about an average EV, say an EV that does 4 miles per kilowatt hour, or just kind of an average EV that could charge for 10 minutes and then achieve 250 miles of range, that would be a huge step forward in terms of those cars being appealing to the kind of people who want those quick stops. Now, by the way, I don't want those quick stops. As a long-time EV driver, you soon realise when you buy an EV for the first time, and if you've got off-road parking, if you charge it at home, that you don't care if a stop takes 20 minutes or 30 minutes. Because if you're stopping after a couple of hundred miles of driving, you genuinely want a rest. If you're doing a road trip and you've been driving for 2-3 hours, you genuinely want to stop, get a coffee, get some food. And if that's 10 minutes or 30 minutes, I don't mind. I don't mind stopping and taking it easy. However, for the headlines, for the people who are doubters, for the people who think they need it but don't actually, this is more of a feature that if you say, you know, do you want an EV that charges in 10 minutes? Oh, yes. Yes, please. I need that. You don't really. There'll be some people, of course. I'm painting with broad brush strokes. There will be some people who do need to charge quickly, who do want to charge quickly, who would do 250 miles and then just want a quick 10-minute stop. Look, 10 minutes goes by very, very quickly. But anyway, so this is great news. They haven't said what chemistry they're using for these cells, but they did say that they would be commercially available next year in 2021. There is a line in the story that said that they can accommodate 1,000 charge and discharge cycles, and that seems low to me, like very low to me in terms of what they should be talking about. Maybe that's a misprint. I'll carry on researching that one because that would be a very short battery life. However, that is, from what I can see, the only negative that they're talking about here. SK Innovation supply cars like Kia for the e-Niro, or Niro EV, depending on what it's called, where you're listening around the world. Their sister company slash cousin company, all part of the same group, Hyundai, or however you want me to say that name, have the Kona, which uses LG Chem cells, another South Korean company. It's not clear whether these new cells will be the ones produced at their new factory. They want to be making cells at their Georgia plant, which will go into the Volkswagen ID4. Now, the Volkswagen ID4 is going to be made at the Chattanooga plant, and that starts in 2022. And that's when the cheaper, the real cheap versions of the ID4 will be available to the US buyers. And that's when you don't have to buy the German imported ones anymore, which are a little bit more expensive. So yeah, SK Innovation making those cells, hopefully at their new Georgia plant. That plant, there's two buildings in Georgia going up, and they will together power 300,000 EVs every single year. And again, that's the headline. It's always, you've always got to say, well, that's great. If you know, if those EVs have a 1 kilowatt hour battery, that's not impressive. So I don't know what average battery size they were talking about with that headline, but 300,000 EVs every year coming out of those two Georgia plants would be fantastic. And another great positive battery story. So Tesla are preparing to export cars from China to Europe. As I told you about last week on the podcast, China now exporting the Model 3 Standard Range Plus to Europe. Maybe you've seen the pictures already. They've been lined up on the docks, getting ready to get on the big car carrier in typical Chinese style. They had a ceremony to celebrate the occasion. 7,000 of these cars on the first boat. They are parked. They've parked them on the dockside in a certain pattern that when you view it from a drone shot above spells out the word Tesla. Those cars are now on their way. All the various regulatory hurdles have been jumped now so that those permits are granted for a vehicle made in China to be driven on European roads. That's all now signed off. They use the latest lithium iron phosphate cells inside their battery, which are cheaper. They contain no cobalt. They are comparable for performance, if not slightly better, than the other cells they were using. However, it's the energy density which isn't quite as high as the cylindrical cells going into the performance versions of the Model 3 made in China. This is not a one-off shipment, by the way, in case you thought I was insinuating in any way that this was the only boat heading, sorry, ship heading to Europe. Giga Shanghai over the next few weeks and months will be sending many more Model 3 Standard Range Pluses in my direction. Well, not me personally. I wish. I'd love one. I'm kind of hanging out for a Model Y, he says, not being able to afford a Model Y. It's funny to see this publicity picture of all the cars lined up in front of a car carrier that you can't help but notice is going to be spewing out tons of fumes into the air. Moving of these cars around is not a particularly environmentally friendly solution, but it's not a problem unique to Tesla, by the way. It's a problem for anybody that buys anything ever made anywhere in the world. And so it's something that is being worked on. Certainly emissions from the shipping sector are coming down, not as quickly as I'd like to see, but there are ambitious targets in place to cut some of the really disgusting pollutants that do, because it's not been regulated as much as road cars until now. Right now, though, it's probably one of the dirtier bits of the whole process, apart from actually making the battery. They're all right-hand drive versions, I should add, so we're not, left-hand drive versions, so no right-hand drive versions coming out of the Chinese Gigafactory. Boo. However, I guess here in the UK, we'll wait for cars made in California. That doesn't mean as well that cars are not coming from California. That was something that was assumed when we found out the cars were going to be made in Shanghai and delivered here. Some speculating online last week that these Chinese-made Model 3s were being made there because it's shorter to get here. Well, it's about 11,000 miles to sail from Shanghai to the major European ports, the places like Zeebrugge or in Norway, further up. And it's over 8,000 miles from San Francisco. So actually longer to come from China. And you have to wonder whether those shipping costs are higher. But there's, you know, those shipping routes are pretty well travelled. And everything's made in China and shipped to Europe. And also, the labour costs are so much lower in China that even if the shipping costs are slightly higher, it's surely offset. Okay, worth noting as well, the price for the Standard Range Plus cars here hasn't changed. It is still around the same price. Those prices, I thought, might come down a little bit, despite there being no tariff, because the car's made in US. Is it 10%? Or someone correct me on that. I know we pay US car tariffs. It's not a huge amount, but it does add to the cost of the car. So if you have any insight on that or any of the stories that I talk about on the podcast, please leave a comment below on the YouTube show or email me. hello@evnewsdaily.com is my address. I mentioned last week as well, after the earnings call for Tesla and their investor letter, they could spend $5 billion a year, because they spent $1 billion on capital expenditure in the quarter. Now, they could easily spend $5 billion a year and it wouldn't touch the sides, as in it wouldn't materially affect their outlook and their financials. Well, it turns out I was wrong by about $1 billion a year. Hey, that's not too bad. That's close enough. They just announced they would be spending... It's a huge amount of money, isn't it? Capital expenditure will increase to $6 billion a year next year and the year after as well. $12 billion over the next 2 years in an SEC filing called the 10Q, expecting their capital expenditures to be on the high end of $3.5 billion this year. So it was an unrepresentative quarter that we just had. So yeah, like $6 billion a year on growth, on over the next two fiscal years, on CapEx, on those projects that expand the company. And they've got some very intensive projects obviously going on, not just with building the factories and the machines that build the machine, but the various bits and spin-off bits of the company as well, if that's how you want to me to portray it, at the various different chunks of Tesla. I mentioned last week, by the way, headline story now, their crowdsourced advantage, that Tesla has the potential. I mentioned on the podcast that one of the things that they can now enjoy after spending years of hell making EVs, of being told that when everyone else starts, they're going to be in trouble, and that, you know, they're terrible at making cars, all the criticism that's been leveled on, you know, whether that is from the old panel gaps thing, which was just became, you know, such a tired thing online. Don't get me wrong, I know that there are still some cars coming off the line that are unacceptable. I've seen the pictures online. I have listeners that have emailed me. I'm not saying they're all perfect, but they've been through that process, and they've now got 1 million cars on the road in the fleet, and they're all contributing to the improvements that are ongoing. So they're all connected cars. They've all got SIM cards inside, and I think they're all 4G. They're not 5G in places. I think all the old 3G ones have probably been upgraded by now. There's some 3G stuff flying around the old Model S's. And so they've got constant contact with all of their cars. They learn. They can push updates, over-the-air updates to the car. But also, those cars can send data back to the mothership when they need to. Now, this has never been more important than the fully rewritten beta version of full self-driving, which has been getting all the headlines. It was rolled out last week to a few select Twitter users and Tesla high-profile Tesla influencers, the kind of people who weren't going to tweet bad stuff. Don't get me wrong, I saw some of the more level-headed. I saw some of the pro-Tesla, like the people that pump it all the time, being like, oh my God, this is amazing, it's the best thing ever. And you're like, okay, maybe it's because I'm British and reserved, and I'm like, okay, well, that's nice. You know, deep breath. I saw some other people who were putting some more balanced, you know, feedback online, but it was still very, very pro, because if you are one of those pro Tesla influencers, Twitter users, or those accounts that you know, live and die on always pumping out positive stuff for the company, then, and you don't want to say bad stuff because you'll be ticked off the list for next time. And so it was a very, very positive first few days of those handful of people that were given access to this new self-driving technology that looks very, very good. The visualizations and stuff look fantastic. It's a full rewrite. And as this goes to the wider fleet, it'll be very interesting to see the reactions of what I will call normal people, if that's not too offensive to the hardcore fanatics who are using it at the moment. So what's interesting, what I didn't realize, is that when they've all been getting home and connecting to their home Wi-Fi, Tesla hasn't just been uploading the usual amount of data or logging as they do. They've been uploading gigabytes of data, and maybe this has been happening over the air, not just when they're on their home Wi-Fi, but one Twitter user did say that he had monitored his home Wi-Fi connection and Tesla took 4 gigabytes of data from the car. That is incredible. That's a significant amount of learning that their engineers can do from just one car. Now multiply that by the fleet. And it's crazy, crazy impressive. Now, I'm not suggesting they're doing this with all of their cars. Obviously, it's just the ones that are in the beta test that are being rolled out. And the more people that do get this technology, the more Tesla's learning will grow exponentially. It's a key difference between them and certain other car makers. It's been normal for a product to be released when it's ready. And that is, I think I feel safe about that, as in car companies would spend often, if not months, years testing with hundreds or even thousands of test drivers and testers, and when they were ready, the car would get released. That's not to say that recalls didn't happen, and they're actually more popular than you would realise, or they happen more often than you would hope, but generally that's how it was done. Tesla seemed to get to the, like any Silicon Valley company, get to a point of just ship it now. And, you know, I've said on the podcast last week, I have feelings both ways about that, how it's equally impressive, but also I don't want something that is safety related, like full self-driving, that is inherently a safety product. I don't want the name Beta being next to that. And it always has been, by the way. It always has been. So it's not, this is nothing new. This didn't start last week. I just personally feel uncomfortable with, I don't mind testing out the new version of Outlook or Word, and you can try the beta version of Facebook on me, but I don't want to be a beta tester for a 2-ton car. Thanks. Maybe I'm an outlier on that, but anyway, my personal opinion. However, what it does mean is that Tesla can operate like a Silicon Valley company. They can push this beta product out into the market and not just have their own testing going on, which has clearly been happening, but with thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of beta testers sending back invaluable information. It is very impressive. And if I was in their shoes, exactly what I would probably be doing as well. So, if you are in that group of people, it'd be interesting to see if you've noticed anything about how much data your car is sending back to the mothership and how much learning is being done. Certainly at this stage, they'll be evaluating about how quick that rollout happens to the rest of the fleet, that stage rollout that Elon has been talking about. Moving on, another day, another special purpose acquisition company. SPAC. They called SPACs. Now Lordstown has finally finished theirs. This is 2020, as well as being a dumpster fire of a year, has been the year of the SPACs. It's a special purpose acquisition company that gathers investment, becomes a publicly traded company, and then goes on the hunt to do a reverse merger with any other company that is looking to become public and want to do it quickly, without as much administration and paperwork than the normal IPO route and roadshows and things like that. Called a reverse merger, these SPAC companies exist in order to find companies that are potentials and eventually pick one to get a return on the investment of their investors who were, at the time when they put their money in, they didn't know where it was going to go. So this latest one is Lordstown Motors. That's now signed off. It's a done deal. They're now trading with Diamond Peak Holdings, trading on the NASDAQ now. Good luck to everyone at Lordstown in Ohio. A reminder, they make the vehicle called the Endurance out next year. Very traditional. Looks like a truck would look. There is no Cybertruck about this at all. Aimed at fleets, aimed at people who, believe it or not, don't like the look of the Cybertruck. Shock, horror. Those people who want the opposite of anything that looks like an EV. This looks very, very conventional. It's got in-wheel hub motors. The history of the company is they used to be called Workhorse. Then they bought the old GM plant in Lordstown. And Lordstown Motors is now making the Endurance. One of the benefits of these mergers is they provide instant capital to those companies to go and invest. And they're building out their EV company with an extra almost $700 million made in the proceeds of this arrangement. Final story today, and wireless charging now has a unified standard. Now, a standard for wireless charging around the world that everybody has agreed on. The wireless charging standard covers wireless charging up to 11 kilowatts of power, and it covers how the car communicates with the charging pad on the ground, how the inductive system works, things like distances. The new unified standard provides clarity for anyone looking to invest, companies to invest in R&D and actually put those products out there. The standard is 94% efficient, which still blows my mind. And so on an 11 kilowatt charging mat, it's around just over half a kilowatt an hour lost, which is, I don't know if you think that's acceptable or not, but 94% efficiency is up there with plugging in your car. So people go, well, wireless must be terrible. it's about the same. Now, is plugging in your car the most onerous of tasks? No. Yes, of course, we can all plug in at home, but there are many examples of where wireless charging will be useful. Autonomous vehicles are the one that is something that comes to mind straight away, unless you want to employ somebody to go around plugging them all in and unplugging them when they're fully charged. But no, of course, things like taxis, where they are stop-start on a road, and commercial vehicles and public vehicles and things, wireless charging makes a lot of sense. Probably not at home, because you don't want to dig up your garage floor or have these pads put down, and you know, you can just plug it in. It's fine. It takes all of 3 seconds. But there are so many places where wireless charging should be taking off, and now it has a new standard that the world has agreed on. That's a good thing. We like standards. It allows for investments, and it means that wherever you go, whatever car park or road, it's all interoperable. Fantastic stuff. And that's your podcast today. Thank you for listening. Well, there are 915 different shows in the archive, which you can get at evnewsdaily.com, and I would invite you to listen to any of those shows if you want to check out the archive, please do. If you can take a couple of minutes to ever review this show on iTunes, that's always helpful. And thanks to our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, also Avid Technology, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com. Check them out. Derek Riley's got a brilliant EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. Going to pick our winner very soon as well of last week's competition. And also Richard at rsimons.co.uk, rsymons.co.uk. They are the electric vehicle specialist. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you for tomorrow's show. Oh, and do remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.